Welcome back to KHAM Radio, episode 37. This is June 4th, 2015, and my guest, David.
Hello.
How you doing?
I am doing better now, thank you.
Oh, you were stuck on the highway. I know that's, I hate that. This is David Weiss, and you have a website?
Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. We do the Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole podcast, and I have a website. We kind of expose everything from 9/11 to, Sandy Hook, Boston, all sorts of stuff. Lots of information on the website. Check it out. Links to the podcast and everything else we do.
Okay. Thank you. We also have with us Hoy Paloy from Clues Forum. Hi, Hoy.
Hi. Hi, I'm back. Hi.
Hi. You're back. All right. Well, before you got here, we were talking about, kind of what happened on 9/11, what things look like.
Sure.
And we were really interested in your experience because you said you were in New Jersey, right?
Connecticut. Yeah, down the Long Island Sound. It's with a view of Lower Manhattan.
So on Connecticut. All right. Of the lower, and it comes down like Lower Manhattan comes down kind of like a tongue, doesn't it?
It sticks out, it's about 25 miles max, Lower Manhattan for me, in a straight line over the water.
All right, and then the very bottom of that tongue, you have Lower Manhattan and the Twin Towers.
Absolutely, I had full view of the entire thing with binoculars.
Mm. All right, so I couldn't remember what tower it was, or if you could just like walk me through that.
So that morning I was actually packing my bags. I was supposed to fly from LaGuardia to Ohio, for a printing job I was doing. My client and friend was in Manhattan visiting somebody at the hospital. And the first tower was hit. I'm watching it on the news, and I'm watching, the news coverage, CNN. Everyone's watching. See all the smoke. I called up my buddy, and I said, "You see what's going on?" He's like, "No." And I was like, "You got a window. Look out. Look downtown." And he looks out the window and says, "Oh, my God." And at that very moment is when the second plane hit, quotation marks, and the phones went dead. And my initial response was, these stupid cell phones, I was just like, I can't believe it. And then it didn't hit me. I'm watching. And then I'm watching this on the news. I'm flipping the channels. I'm listening to radio. And I said, I got to go down to the beach. It's just about 2 miles away. And I went down to the beach listening on the radio. I'm watching binoculars. And then all of a sudden, the first tower, went top to bottom, It looked like basically, some of the famous videos that we've seen, where it just mushroomed out and went top to bottom at an incredibly fast speed. And, I was just leaving the beach as the second one went down. I didn't have binoculars when the second one went down, and, went and picked up my kids and did kind of what everyone else did. So, you guys still there?
Yeah. So the towers came down, right? And So we hear about dustification. I'm still like walking around with you on that day. So was it like, then there must have been tell me what it looked like over Lower Manhattan.
So the it went top down. It looked like nothing I've ever seen. I knew something was wrong, but you can't wrap your mind around it. It's such a new experience. And then it was hard to see what was going on at ground level just because of the distance a little bit. There was a lot of smoke, fog, dust, whatever you want to call it. I guess we'll call it dust. And I didn't, stay around that much longer. I was there, I was on the phone, and then by the time I got out of there, the second one just came down. I wasn't in the same spot when the second one came down, so I didn't have as good of a view of it, and I was out of there. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them, that think nothing that we saw was real. I believe that most of the videos that we were showing were either completely fake or, you know, partially fake. You know, where they added smoke or added dust or added stuff to hide what was really going on. I don't believe that the video we're showing of Building 7 is real.
Can I ask a question?
Please, anything.
That's very generous. Thank you. What do you mean by mushroomed out? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so, I don't know the names of all the videos, but there's one video that Dr. Judy Wood shows a lot where, you know, you see that the building, it kind of goes up and out and comes down, and there's that one big piece that she tracks down that turns into dust. I'm sure most 9/11 investigators know which video I'm talking about. And that's kind of what it looked like. That's really what it looked like to me. Of course, I couldn't see the individual pieces from my distance, but I saw this, the top of the building just puffed out, and then the whole thing came raining down, maybe at, you know, two thicknesses of the building in width, you know, it went out as wide as the building on each side, maybe that much. And it went down to the ground. The tower was gone. There was a shoot of smoke there where I'm like, no, the tower still has to be there. It can't be gone. But then on the radio, they're saying that the tower had collapsed. The tower collapsed, 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 they kept saying. And, you know, right there was some of the best mind programming of this event, you know, until the Harley shirt guy came out and told us what happened.
I agree with you. I agree. That's a lot of programming. I want to focus on your witness testimony because it's so rare. Would you mind if I had a few more questions?
It helps me sort it out.
Okay, so one thing that comes to mind is, this is a very sensitive question, and I apologize for being, for potentially judging you on this question, but...
Please.
How can you be sure that because your mind has linked up that video that you saw with what your witness testimony kind of is now, how can you be sure that you've separated them enough? It was a long time ago. Can you be sure that you haven't over time of telling a story to people merge them in your mind a bit, or...
I understand your question, and to be honest, I really haven't thought about, until my discussion with you guys last week, where I didn't really think about what I saw through the binoculars, comparing it to all of the videos that I've seen and analyzed. And it was our discussion last week that made me think, what did I really see? And I remember that what I saw so vividly. Now, I'm not saying it was the same thing. I'm just saying I saw the towers go from top to bottom, puffed out in the smoke around the same time frame. I remember watching it, and it was bulging out. It was bulging out in the middle or below the fall line. That you can see this big bulge, and it just went down. You know, maybe 8 to 10 seconds. You know, and then there was a column of smoke, and I remember that the column of smoke stayed there for longer than I would expect to. And I don't know how long that was. But
David,
go ahead.
So about how much view did you have of the Twin Towers? Did you have a full view from top to bottom of every floor?
Of course not top to bottom. I would say probably the bottom 20 floors were obscured by other buildings from my vantage point.
20. All right. I guess my point is, at least from the 20th floor down, it appeared top to bottom, right?
Well, right. From what, everything that I could see was gone.
Right. Just went straight down.
It went straight down, you know. And, you know, I'm with Dr. Wood a lot on the towers didn't fall. They turned to dust in midair. That makes the most amount of sense to me. You know, do I believe that it was just directed energy? I have different theories, but those are just my theories.
David, are you familiar with the technique Varinage?
No, what is that?
It's a French technique. They use it all the time to take buildings down. Mm-hmm. You have to have enough on top of the floor. If you have at least six floors, mm-hmm. then what you do is they have these hydraulic jacks that pop all the supports at one time, and that's all you need. And you do it on two floors, one up above the other. Then that middle floor, it just slides out to the left or to the right or whatever. And then the two floors collapse, and just that amount of weight collapsing justifies the whole building all the way down.
So that's an interesting concept, but I have an argument to that. And again, I'm not an engineer. You know, as the building goes up, the floors and the beams and the floors get thinner and thinner and lighter because they don't need that much support. My understanding is above the first impact was only about 4% of the building's weight. And even if it was all the floors weighed the same amount and you had this 10-story block falling down, pulverizing the building below it, the block itself would also be pulverizing. So after 10 floors, there would be nothing left. If it was truly pulverized, if it was pancaking in building mass, that could explain taking out thicker and thicker floors on the bottom, possibly. But that's going through the path of most resistance. And even if each floor slowed it down for a half a second, because you have to slow down that mass to transfer the energy to destroy what's below it, that's 50 seconds, okay, additional to the falling speed.
But, so, David, they do it now. Varinage is happening now. They're doing it with 30, 40-story buildings right now. It's already proven. So what you're saying doesn't count. Varinage is already proven technology. Why couldn't they just apply that to 9/11?
The Varinage collapses falling at that speed?
Yeah, you should. So, there's videos on the internet.
Let's Google it
right now. Yeah, yeah. You're going to be blown away. I didn't even know this thing was true.
How do you spell Varinage?
V-E-R-I-N-A-G-E. Okay. Varinage explosiveless demolition. So it's explosiveless demolition, and the French term for that is Varinage.
Now, are they taking out steel-reinforced concrete buildings?
Look at them. Watch the video.
I don't want to do it while we're talking on the show here, but I'm not going to discount it until I view it myself and see what's going on. But it really, as far as physics go, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, the example of a bowling ball falling through air versus a bowling ball falling through cement and steel, it's going to slow it down.
Well, and it might slow it down, but if you can't trust the video you saw on TV.
I'm trusting what I saw through the binoculars.
Did you time it? Did you go 1001, 1002, 1003?
No, but I think what I saw went down faster than what we saw on TV. It went down so fast, I couldn't understand what I just saw. It didn't make any sense at all. It literally was, it felt like 5 seconds. And when something like that happens, 5 seconds usually feels like a minute, you know, but it felt like 5 seconds.
Can I ask another question?
Please.
Okay. So.
By the way, you're from Clues Form. Is this Hoy?
Yes. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Great stuff. I love it. It's thought inspiring and it's good work. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope that we leave this conversation having inspired each other a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not locked into one belief because, you know, every day I'm flipped upside down on the new things that I learned that are deceiving us. It's mind-blowing.
Well, yeah, I hope that you don't get so... I hope that it doesn't worry you to be in my position, but my position is almost like, even if I had witness testimony, even that I would have to question about my own ability to remember and separate my experiences from video experiences if I were in a position where I hadn't had a lot of years of experience mentally doing that and practicing and exercising, separating visual photography and effects from my own memory, then I would be more confident with my own testimony. And I don't want to say that that's, you know, everyone's different. I don't want to say that that's what you are doing or have to do. I am willing to accept that you believe that you saw that, and it's a very interesting story. If it's true that it was, say, like 5 seconds, as you say, why would you necessarily want to attach that to a separate theory? Wouldn't your testimony be stronger as just your detailed testimony as it is? And then you don't have to say, okay, it was definitely this thing that sounds close to what I believe is directed energy weapon.
Yeah, so I'm telling you my testimony of what I saw.
Yeah.
I try to explain what I saw by a gravity collapse. It doesn't make sense to me. What makes a lot more sense than a gravity collapse would be a classic controlled demolition. But, you know, looking at evidence further, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well,
to me.
I'm curious why you would discount a classic controlled demolition. Because that seems logical to me, too.
Sure.
To discount that and say there was some kind of special technique used. But I don't want to jump to directed energy weapons simply because the people who are promoting that I find extremely suspect, and I don't see a lot of good evidence for it. So I'm almost wanting to support you in saying, okay, there's a 5 second collapse, but we just don't know.
Just curious, no judgment. Have you read Where Did the Towers Go, cover to cover?
No, I haven't.
So I actually supported Dr. Wood's work for well over a year while having her book in my possession and never reading it, reading a couple pages here and there, skimming through the book. Then I was in a conversation with her, and she put me in my place. She said to me, I asked a question, I forget exactly what the question was, and she said, did you read my book? You know, and obviously I hadn't. And then I read it over the weekend, cover to cover, and it changed my complete understanding of what I learned from watching every single one of her lectures. So I like to say to people...
But to me, that sounds like you're not distilling the information... That you're not saying, here's what I learned and here's how I can explain it to everybody. That would make more sense to me.
Her book is actually very detailed, and you can discount any part of it that you want. All I'm saying is read the book and then throw the information out. You can't judge her book unless you read it. And it's a daunting book. It's 550 pages or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But do you hear what I'm saying? Like, if you actually understood the information, you would be able to explain it.
Well, I can, but it would probably take a couple of hours, and I wouldn't do as good of a job as if you read the book. You know,
I'm prepared to take your testimony over hers.
I got it. I get it. You know, I was down in Lower Manhattan. You know, within a week or two after 9/11, and it was amazing how well they had it walled off where you couldn't see anything. But I was able to see from a friend's apartment into the area, and there was nothing there. Not nothing, but, you know, you really can't appreciate how big these buildings were unless you were there, and, you know, a lot of people were there. There would have been a pile, you know, even though everyone says the buildings are hollow and the way they were constructed, even if you just took the floors, just the floors themselves, that would have stacked up to, you know, 100 feet tall or more.
Okay, so this is what, just to frame this is your argument against conventional controlled demolition.
I am not saying that. My best explanation is that there was a controlled demolition with some sort of directed advanced energy weapon that released molecular bonds from holding. You know, like a steel bond is much stronger than a balsa wood bomb. And if you try to blow up a steel building, you're going to maybe blow some big holes and some chunks and stuff. But if you put some energy in there to make the bonds of everything weaken to maybe the point of balsa wood or something, and then you blow up these controlled demolitions, the whole thing's going to turn to dust.
But that's kind of confusing to me because...
Can I say something for a minute?
Sure.
Just to, you know, you're like, where did it go? Well, if this is a planned ahead event, then they planned ahead the demolition and removal. I guarantee you dump trucks around the clock, they had it all timed out. Why is that hard? That's so conventional to me. Dump trucks, there you go. You got ports right there. I mean,
right, but the pile at the on the evening of 9/11 was only one or two stories high, and it should have been 20 or 30 stories high.
Did you see it personally, David?
I did, but not on that day. You're right.
See? But my point is, and this is why I don't need to read Judy Wood's book to know that what she's saying can't possibly be true, because she is relying on photographic evidence. And what we're saying is you cannot rely on any photographic evidence. It could possibly only be eyewitness testimony, and some eyewitnesses lie. You sound truthful to me. But
so
photographic evidence, you got to throw it out. We've got so much manipulation. We can prove it already. So my point is why I don't think we can't trust not one of them.
So I have a couple of firemen buddies that were on what they call the pile, and I've asked them numerous times on how tall it was, and they're like, it wasn't tall at all. It was, you know, everything got smashed together. They still believe in the gravity collapse. But
okay, but hold on a second now.
Go ahead.
Okay. You just brought in a whole other kind of problematic thing, which is your trust of people who work for the government.
No, these guys don't work. These are volunteer firemen that I worked for at the printing company that I worked at, and they went down there for a couple of days. You know,
for the government is still someone who works for the government.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to be able to – you guys are judging me, saying I sound trustworthy. You don't even know who I am. I know these guys for years, and they're actually very – one of them is very sick right now. So I would
I don't understand what that has to do with it. No, the point is you were going on your own testimony, but then now you're bringing in other people and saying that in order for us to trust – we have to trust these people that you trust. Now, that puts us in a very difficult position.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm trying to verify how much debris was there, and I have two choices. I can listen, I can look at pictures, or I can talk to eyewitnesses. Well, I have some eyewitnesses that I trust implicitly, and I have pictures that I'm fairly good at discerning, you know, what's real and what's not real. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm sure I'll get some stuff wrong. So those are my two options. And I really haven't found anything that's saying anything different.
What is the unexamined assumption here that we're facing? What we're facing is the fact that you trust these people without the level of questioning that, you know, we're presenting new kinds of questions to you. I can hear it in your voice that you're, you know, you're contemplating new ideas that you haven't brought to them, that you haven't actually introduced to them before. You haven't actually challenged their position before because you implicitly trust them. That doesn't mean that we can implicitly trust them right away. So this is one of those problems where it's all about kind of one-on-one things, not this secondhand, thirdhand, I saw it on TV, well, I trust this government person. Even no matter how close you are to them, even if they're they're your own sister or father, this doesn't necessarily...
Sure, I believe, I understand actually you know, mind control and programming of people and the ability to manipulate people, because I actually used to do hypnosis on people. I was very good at it, and it's very simple. It's the most simple thing. So, yeah, anything is possible. I don't discount it. But I saw the towers disappear at a very quick rate, and it was mind-boggling. Here's the thing, too. I saw them fall before I heard somebody tell me they were gone. I saw it go down. I didn't understand what I was seeing. I'm like, that's like an explosion. I was thinking, wow, there's explosions. That was my first thought. And then I went over to a radio, and they said the tower collapsed.
Interesting. So the radio was working, but the cell phone went out.
Huh. No. The cell phone went out. That was earlier. That was like right after. That was right when the second plane hit. Then I went down to the beach. And I actually was not a cell phone. I was at home. I was on a regular phone talking to somebody in the city on a cell phone. But I was down at the beach, standing outside my car, at the water, at the edge, at the shoreline. And what was amazing was it was probably the clearest day I've ever remembered. I mean, blue sky.
That's interesting that you say that. That sounds like a really familiar line that we got a lot from the media. I wonder, it's interesting that you say that.
Well, it was really a blue sky, clear day, and I could see Lower Manhattan. There's days where you really can't even see Lower Manhattan. Yeah. Mostly now, but, you know, I have no connection to the media or anything, and I did not know about the hurricane that was offshore, which is very fascinating. You know, normally when there's a Category 1 hurricane, you know, hundreds of miles away, everybody freaks out. This was a Category 3 right off the coast.
Okay, so that's another thing that I think that from our position of being fakeologists who study how we're deceived, we'd say, oh, was there really this offshore hurricane and stuff?
Yeah, you know what? Again, I'll give it to you. I have no proof other than some news reports where they barely mentioned it, some radar, and the word of other people about lightning strikes, and you know, Wikipedia saying that there was a hurricane. That could be completely all fake information. You're absolutely right.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you. If you can't, when someone says the quote something, when they say something happened or I know this, I said, who told you that? How do you know that's true? Even if it's the most simple thing. I mean, if you don't have proof in this world of lies, you know, there's so much going on in the world of psyops.
Yes, that's pretty much it. That's the world that we're in, and that's kind of the position that I'm feeling myself in right now.
the hurricane thing, I don't really give it much weight, and yeah, there's two possibilities with that hurricane. It was there or it wasn't there. And I don't know.
Yep, that's a good point.
Well, David, I was thinking about, you know, how the need for people to want explanations. Like Dr. Judy Wood wouldn't have a job were it not for the fact that we require explanations of why shit's going down, right? Because
yeah.
We want to know. I mean, yeah, we know that happened, but why? It's all the big why. So, I mean, not a lot of people offer us the whys.
Sure.
So when they do, you think about it. But I think, you know, I would like to see whys just be the simplest thing ever. Like, perhaps there wasn't a big pile because there were 7 underground floors, and what floors were actually built out, they removed everything anyway. And maybe they did. Who knows? They did a lot of moving around in there. Maybe they did remove all extra support beams.
So that is that is a possibility, because I don't, you know, but I don't know. I was in Tower 2. 2 weeks before 9/11, I had a client that had office space on the 17th floor, and then either the 14th or the, I forget, I thought they were separated by two floors.
Which client?
It was a New York Institute. I did the printing for them. It was a college, some New York Institute. I can't remember the name of it. But I can't tell you that all the other floors in that building were empty, because when you go there, you get into an elevator, you press your floor number, and you go there, and there's a whole village in that floor. And the 10 floors above it could be empty, and I would never know it. So,
what was it like on that floor?
Normal people. I mean, what was the layout of the floor?
No, I mean, like, what was the state of this office? Was it like pictures we've seen where things are kind of being packed in boxes and there's just nothing but the windows and there's, or was it more, did it seem like it could be, could it be moved out day? Because, you know, colleges, I mean, what do they have? They just have filing cabinets and,
you know, that's a great question, and it was such a long time ago. I did not take notice if there was extra boxes and stuff. The client I was dealing with, I was in and out usually within a half an hour. They had cubicles. They had stuff all over the place. They had printers going. Could they moved out? I do remember I called them. I tried to call them after the plane hit and there was no, I couldn't reach anybody. And, then I talked to them either a day or 2 days later and they said that they had all gotten out and that was the last I ever talked to them. So again,
Wait, you called them when the plane hit?
I tried to call my client. Because they're the people I knew in the building and I either the phone rang or it did. I don't even remember at this point. I couldn't get through to anybody. I didn't try that hard.
Why would you call them?
I was friendly with them. You know, I wanted to know what was going on. You know, you try to reach out to somebody close by.
But you went in for like half an hour. It was just a client.
No, this was a client I did a ton of work with, and they were a nice woman. I'm totally spacing on her name. I know the story sounds, because I don't have the details on me. It sounds made up, but I assure you there's no reason to make up the story.
Except to tell us that there were people there that weren't there.
Well, that you can always take it down that route, but I don't believe anybody was supposed to die in 9/11. I know two people that are gone, that their families believe that they're dead to this day.
Who are they? What are their names?
Robbie Noonan and Mike Rothberg.
Robbie Noonan?
Yep.
N-O-O-N-I-N?
N-E-W-N-A-N.
Robbie Noonan and who?
Michael Rothberg.
Rothberg. And what have you looked at pictures of them? On the memorial sites?
Yeah, those are them, and they're gone.
What do you mean they are them? The pictures are physically those people?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay,
so my belief is that they died in those buildings. Now, is it possible that they were compromised in some way, participating in some way, and have been relocated somewhere else? Absolutely possible.
Well, how is it that you know them?
Because I played squash with Mike Rothberg at least once a week, and I windsurfed with Robbie Noonan on a regular basis for...
How regular?
Whenever it's windy, for 10 years, maybe longer.
So basically all the time.
And his brother. Well, it's not very windy here very often. So, went to parties. We lived in my town. I still see his sister to this day.
His sister?
Yeah.
Okay, what's her name?
Wells.
Her name is Wells.
Yes.
That's her name.
That's her name, Wells Noonan.
W-E-L-L-S?
W-E-L-L-E-S? You can look her up.
Like H.G. Wells.
W-E-L-L-S. Noonan. N-O-O-N-A-N.
N-O-O-N-A-N?
N-O-O-N-O-O-N-A-N.
So she's spelled differently from Robbie Noonan?
No, I am a horrible speller, and I I just wrote down N-E-W-N-A-N.
Okay, and so that's so Robbie Noonan is actually N-O-O-N-A-N as well.
I would assume so.
You would assume so. You think you knew them really well.
Would you? Well, do you know how to spell my name?
Yeah, I can look at it.
Listen, I'm not the greatest speller. Noonan sounds like N-E-W-N-A-N to me. I haven't looked at the, it's Noonan, N-O-O-N-A-N.
Look, I'm having a hard time believing that you really knew these people so well as you claim, sir.
That's okay. You can believe that or not. It's not, I have no axe to grind. I don't even have it. There's no agenda.
Unless you do, unless you're here to tell us that you knew some people who died that didn't.
I'm also saying that it's possible that they didn't die. I'm not.
But that doesn't necessarily make you less suspicious, because you're basically here saying you knew these people, they're real, you interacted with them, but you're kind of sketchy on the details here. I mean, if you really knew them.
Then I windsurfed with him. He wasn't my best friend. I'm good friends with his sister. I don't see her regularly. I basically see her twice a year right now.
What? Twice a year for what?
Twice a year. We go to a music festival together, and then I usually see her, once or twice in the summer.
What kind of music festivals?
It's a music festival.
What name one?
Gathering of the Vibes.
Okay. When is that? That goes on twice a year?
That goes on once a year at the end of July.
And another one is?
Oh, that's the music festival that we go to.
Okay. What's another thing that you go to together?
We see each other out at a local bar where there's a band playing. We'll bump into each other once or twice a year.
I see.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
You can look her up on Facebook if you want, and you can see that we're friends.
Is that supposed to make me believe in her more?
Well, okay. I mean, you can choose not to believe in anything. It's up to you.
No, but now you're saying that I can't believe in, I'm believing in nothing because I'm doubting your story? That's a huge leap.
You're welcome to doubt my story.
Okay, but I'm just saying, what you presented is you saw the tower collapse. It looked like the video.
Well, you
knew two people,
yeah,
who you think disappeared or died, and their pictures are them. They don't look like them. They don't look modified. You didn't look at the shadows. You didn't look at the victims around them that look suspiciously like them.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I have not analyzed the pictures. I've seen the memorial pictures, and it's them, but I did not go in to see if those pictures were photoshopped. I don't know why they would be if that person, that name is a name that was listed as dead, and that person looks like that person. Why would they need to Photoshop it?
Well, how are we supposed to trust you that you you're the only person saying that we know.
I'm not. I can give you
saying, a that saying this photo actually resembles a real person. And then on top of that, it resembles a person that you knew. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right. What about this whole idea that it mushroomed out and it ballooned out of the tower when it collapsed? What do you mean by that? Because it sounds to me like you're describing the video that you saw.
Well, no. I'm describing what I saw, and it looked like it exploded
outwards. The building itself expanded?
The building, the debris, the smoke or dust, whatever it was, bubbled out like an explosion. And
what do you mean by that, bubbled out?
How do you want me to explain it?
To explain it like I'm a child. And you are explaining your graphically exactly.
So there's a tower standing up in the air, and it explodes into a cloud, an expanding cloud of smoke, and then falls from top to bottom at a very fast speed, probably 5 seconds, maybe 6 seconds. Maybe I'm off by another second.
So what you're saying is it Okay. So what
you're
saying
is... And then
what
was left was a column of smoke that I was waiting for it to clear, and it didn't clear very quickly.
Okay, so what you're saying is it exploded. So first of all...
Well, that's what it looked like, an explosion, because I have no other explanation other than an explosion.
Okay, have you seen a lot of movies? Can you compare it to a special effect? Was it like Independence Day?
No, there was no fire. It was gray and white and wasn't very colorful. And
I have a question, David.
Sure.
About what floor level was the bulge?
Well, you know, the bulge wasn't at the very top. I would say it was probably, you know, the high middle third, you know, but it happened very quickly. And as I watched it, it just went down and then it was gone. And it was hard to tell it was gone because of the column of smoke that was left or whatever it was.
So was it above or below the smoke coming from the airplane hit?
You know, that's another thing I've been trying to reconcile because it wasn't for a few years that I really started getting in, about 4 years. So I really started researching and looking for videos. And I don't recall the smoke looking like it did on television, that there wasn't that much smoke. Yes, there was smoke, but it was a whiter smoke and it was traveling away from me. So, it was really hard for me to tell how thick it was, but you know, if you have to ask me, and I don't know how reliable this answer is, I would say it wasn't as much smoke as we were shown on television.
Have you ever been approached by someone whom you are not sure who they worked for and asked you about your hypnosis?
No.
What was your hypnosis career like?
Wasn't a career. I studied neurolinguistics in college, and I was taught
what
by
college?
Central Connecticut. I didn't major in anything. I studied it, and I had talked to a hypnotist there. I didn't get hypnotized by him, but he was.
How can you be sure? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I'm pretty sure that I wasn't. And then I did hypnosis on lots of students for different things. You know, we did studying.
What kinds of things?
We did studying retention, where you can memorize 100 terms defined by reading it once. And it was amazing. We did.
Well, if it was so amazing, did nobody approach you about this and say that was great?
Well, this one hypnotist did when I saw him, and actually wanted me to join his practice, and I said that wasn't my career path and I wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a cute story.
Well, again, you don't have to believe anything I say. This is. My point of bringing that story up is that it's very easy to program the human mind. It's very simple, the conscious and subconscious, and how it works and how to get through that conscious screen is one of the simplest things, and people have no idea how easy it is.
Well, then explain it. Maybe we could all learn something.
Well, the simple way to explain it is, you know, In the simplest form is you have your subconscious memory, which remembers everything and may never forget anything. The only question is access. And then I like to imagine that you have a conscious screen around it. I always use the example of a tennis racket for some reason. And that conscious screen screens things out. You know, so I'm going to say to you right now, I used to be the president of the United States and I was a really good president. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question now. What did I just say? What did I just tell you?
You were the president of the U.S. and you used to be a really good president.
All right. And is that real, true information or is that false information?
It's false, sir.
Well, did you judge that yourself?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, you did, based on prior experiences that you pulled out of your subconscious mind, because if you had no idea who ever was a president, you might not have judged it as false, right? Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. So my point is, we judge everything based on our experiences. We screen things with our conscious mind, which is always looking and analyzing and storing information. You stored it as true or false. But if I can bring your attention all the way to just focusing on not all the other things that are going on around you, just bring you to the sound of my voice, do some relaxing techniques, and I can relax that conscious mind. That screen opens up and those holes get much bigger, and I can send a tennis ball right through it into your subconscious brain, and it gets stored without judgment.
And in other words, you could easily have done that with Robbie Noonan and Michael Rothberg to an entire audience of people that we just gave a platform for you to do that with.
You're a little conspiratorial and suspicious for my taking, but sure, yeah, it could be that. I mean,
What do you mean by using the word conspiratorial? What could you possibly mean by conjuring the word conspiratorial?
I mean, I'm telling you my experiences, and every single thing I say, you are looking for an angle that I'm using it to control people's beliefs because of your preset, beliefs on what happened.
No, it's not a preset belief. It's a question.
Sure.
And I'm seeing how you respond, and it's just interesting how you respond.
Well, you're asking me questions about the hypnosis, and I'm telling you my experience, and I'm telling you what a powerful tool it is and how easy it is.
Yeah, it's almost like you're, I don't know, impressed with that power.
Let me ask you this.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Right. That I'm impressed with my power? Is that what you said?
I said that power, but...
That well, it can happen at all.
I mean, do you not believe the power of hypnosis and mind programming? Just a question to you.
I think that some of it is possible, and I think that it's possible to lie, and I think that some people qualify lies as something more interesting or more powerful than it really is.
So you don't believe in the power of hypnosis?
I didn't say that. I simply said that some people think of themselves as really good liars, but in fact, they're just liars, and they just do it so much, and they've convinced themselves that it's like a power or a special ability.
Huh. That's okay. I mean, I was fascinated with what you could do with it. You know, I did some things with memory with some people, and they did they got amazing scores on their tests from it was basically just terms defined for computer class.
Do you think that if people are people who hypnotize people are immune to hypnosis?
You know, I don't think so at all, but I wish I had somebody that could hypnotize me, because self-hypnosis, at least my belief, which could be limiting me, stopped me from having some of the great results that that other people had doing the hypnosis with me.
What kind of great results?
I had this computer class, and this one girl, she skipped all the classes, never went. We had a test, and it was 100 terms defined. So she was somebody that I had hypnotized multiple times. Once you hypnotize somebody, you can hypnotize them very quickly other times. So
that sounds like lying to me. It sounds like if someone trusts you, then you can lie to them and they will believe you.
Well, that's not it at all, because we had an agreement that I would never do anything that would be against her will and all sorts of stuff. So basically what I did is, I put her in a hypnotic state. I gave her the 100 terms defined, and I told her she can read them once, and she'll have 100% memory retention. And then she read them, and then I brought her out of the hypnosis, and I jumped around asking her what each term meant. and she knew it, and she took the test the next day and got like a 98 on it, and she hadn't gone to any classes or studied at all. It was amazing.
So so this is just you guys messing around. It's not like a published study or anything.
Absolutely not. Just messing around. We actually did a lot of fun games and stuff and learned a lot.
Is this through a class, like an English class or like a psychology class?
Nope, I took a lot of psychology. I did this on my own.
Oh, okay, so...
You took a lot of psychology.
Did you... Was that going to be part of your major, psychology?
It was going to be. I took a lot of psychology because it was fascinating.
Right. It is. It is. And it depends. You know, I went to college both on the East Coast and the West Coast. And they teach things completely differently. It's so bizarre. So opposite.
Yeah. College is what you make of it.
Right.
I believe. If I had kids now, I don't think that weren't, you know, going into college age, I don't think I would send them to college.
Right.
You'd learn a lot more on YouTube.
I guess it depends what YouTube, huh?
Well, absolutely. Yep. There's a bunch of garbage on there, and there's some amazing stuff. You know, you can basically pick any class that you would take in college and find incredible instruction on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you could come on and put up with us. We just got a lot of questions because, you know, David, to be honest, I want to trust people. It's my nature, but before you, because you got big shoes to fill there, sir. Before you, there we have met up with many people who have turned out to be not true tellers. So, you know, our skepticism doesn't come boom all at you. You know, there's a whole bunch of weight we're dragging with all the other people who had lied to us.
So I get it, and I have to tell you, you know, a couple of years ago or even more recently, if somebody said to me, nobody died in the towers, I would tell them that they were absolutely insane. But I see where you're coming from, and if I didn't know these two guys, I would probably be on the same bandwagon you're on. But again, knowing these two guys,
what was Michael's middle name?
I don't know. I wasn't that close with him. I just played squash with him. I was friends with Robbie and his brother, Ashley, and his sister Wells. All right. And they, even though they're gone, I will not rule out the possibility that they didn't die in the towers.
Have you seen the Vixen report at cluesforum.info? Are you familiar with that, David?
What's the question again?
We call it the Vixen report, like victim but simulated.
I have not. Is it on the Clues Forum?
Yeah. I have a list. And
yeah, you know, I might have seen it a while ago, but refresh my memory, please. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Well, one of the most disturbing thing about it is the incredibly horrid family pictures that loved ones have given the media to portray as their dead son or daughter. I mean, they're absolutely horrific.
Yes, I have seen it, and they're horrible photoshops, and they're fake victims, and it's just like Sandy Hook, in my opinion.
Robbie's middle name?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe get the social security number on him. You got that?
Why don't you friend his sister on that and start asking her some questions?
Well, because I'm not so sure I would be facing someone who isn't a better liar than yourself.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Hoy, so can we tell him why we think this?
Sure.
Yeah, can.
Well, the thing is, Facebook, you can just create a profile and that's it.
Understood. And anyone can say anything on Facebook.
And then there's also people. there are also people who seems their job is to kind of manage a persona or manage a series of relationships. That's part of the psychological operation, which you, I'm surprised, don't know about for someone who studied psychology and hypnosis.
Wait, what are you talking about? On Facebook that there's people that have false profiles?
No, I'm talking about the concept of people whose job it is to maintain and manage a fake persona and a fake network.
On Facebook or elsewhere.
Oh.
In life.
Yep. You got it.
Who says I don't know that? Who says I believe that happened, you know, like I believe Robbie Parker was in Newtown for 8 months, getting to know some people here and there, going around just so people could say I knew who Robbie Parker was, you know. If I had a beer with him at the pub 3 times before that happened, I could say I knew Robbie Parker. What are you talking about? He's a real person. I knew nothing. I had a beer with a guy who said his name was Robbie Parker, who said he had a kid, Emily. You know, it means nothing. So accusing me of not knowing these things is
just
you not even asking a question about what I know and what I don't know. Why do I believe what about Michael?
Because you're acting as though it's ridiculous for me to question the existence that you claim Michael Rothberg had.
I'm not acting
like
that at all.
Is even his real name or even was a real person.
I'm not acting like that at all. I'm just telling you this is my story. You can choose to believe it or not, and I can understand.
I'm not choosing to believe it.
I'm telling you my answer, and I'm not judging you for anything. I'm just telling you this is who I know. You can call me a liar or not. It's fine. I don't care.
No, you keep saying that. Like, I have to choose a belief or I have to say you're a liar or anything like that.
That is not what I'm saying.
That's what you just said, but let's move on, please. I wanted to ask you why you believed Michael Rothberg was his real name. You don't know his middle name. You didn't know Robbie Noonan's middle name. You claim to spend a lot of time with them and their families. Well, maybe not Rothberg's family, but it just seems like you don't really know them. You claim to have known 2 firefighters who were supposedly...
Do you know Kay's middle name?
Well, this is different because I don't know her in person. You claim to have actually hung out with these people.
I have a lot of friends that I don't know their middle names. Maybe I should start asking.
Okay, that's fine. You're going to do that argument. That's okay. That's fine.
Do you know all of your friends' middle names? Honestly, be honest.
If I hung out with them every week, yeah, pretty sure.
Do you ever play a sports a game? You know, like baseball, football, or anything? Or
I don't really want to divulge any information to you.
So that's fine. Do you know your teammates' middle names?
I'm just wondering, why is it that you think Michael Rothberg is his real name? Do you?
Because that's how I knew whom, that's what his club membership was under, that's what his family goes by, and that's what his house was listed under, and it could be a fake name from birth, who knows, maybe he's a CIA agent, you know, who knows. He lives in my town.
You looked up his house and you said, oh, this is his name.
Well, that's what his mail, I've seen mail, you know, it's...
Oh. I think that's a federal offense, digging through someone else's mail.
No. Okay. You make a lot of assumptions.
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm just asking questions. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm being assumptive or presumptive.
You are. It doesn't sound like it, but go ahead. You got any more?
Yeah, I mean, I could ask a lot of questions all the time.
If you'd like to, I'm willing to answer any questions you have. I don't know my friends' middle names. And they don't know my middle name.
How is it that you found out about 9/11?
How did I first find out about it?
Yeah, it was a hoax.
What's the first thing I saw, or how did I know it was fake?
Yeah.
Everything. No, everything.
Oh, everything.
You were on the beach and you...
No, that's not where I was. I was getting changed. I was packing my bag to go to the airport, and I was listening to Howard Stern on the radio, and he was interviewing Pamela Anderson, And Gary, his producer, came in and said, I got to cut in. And it was at a very, in the middle of a very funny interview, and said an airplane hit the tower. So I was listening to him while watching CNN. I turned on CNN at that point, and that's when I made the phone call a little while later. Second plane hit, phone got disconnected, went to the beach.
Do you believe there were planes?
I used to believe there was planes. I don't believe planes hit the towers now. I don't believe planes crashed anywhere on 9/11.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, I don't know what to believe, if I should believe or not believe, I guess.
Well, I mean, evidence, physical evidence shows that what we were shown of the plane going into the tower, I would put it on the impossible list. So therefore, in my mind, there wasn't planes. You know, it's impossible.
There's a mistake, though, what you said. You said physical evidence shows what we were shown.
No,
I mean,
let me say that the proper way. What we were shown is physically impossible.
Correct. Yeah, that's why, you know, part of the reason most of us here, we at fakeologist.com, we can't trust any evidence that's visual. We can't trust any pictures. We can't trust any video or anything like that.
So are pictures more or less reliable than witness testimony?
Less.
Makes sense. Yeah.
To me,
unless the picture could be verified in a lab that it was taken at that, but it's likely that it was taken by that camera at that time as claimed.
What lab?
A lab, I don't know, a forensics lab.
Yeah.
Forensics lab that you could actually trust and know and go to.
Or it was a part of a series of other corroborating pictures, then that might be. But the problem is so many of them are fake. So many, and it's so obvious, and it's so easy to find. I mean, if we go back to Sandy Hook for just a minute, me and Dell and Vidir did a couple videos on that. Robbie Parker in one of them, 100% CGI. Everyone in that scene, CGI. I have no doubt. So
were they CGI or were they actually photoshopped in? You mean they were actual computer graphics of him?
Well, there you go. Not really sure, but the faces and the hands are grayed out like matte.
I got a quick question because no one's really addressed this or very, very rarely. Do you remember Obama and came out in the White House and did his ISIS speech where he walked out of the back hallway up to a podium inside of an archway, did his ISIS speech, did an about face, and walked out? You guys remember that?
No.
I don't.
Well, Obama ISIS speech, I believe that was 100% computer graphics. It wasn't even him. And there's a lot of evidence pointing towards that. I believe it was a test run on what the American public will buy. The evidence is only pointing towards that. Can't say it conclusively.
Mm-hmm. I remember that video. And sorry, I'm just interjecting here. I remember that video. And I also remember the people who were actually pushing that video, and it was like an isolated, you know, incident. It was like what you were saying there. It was like testing it out on people, but like you know, even in that sense, it was like a distraction from the bigger picture. You know, with all the media fakery that's going on. It's like yet another example of somebody. It's like other people in the YouTube community, right? It's kind of like they start off on the basis that the media sometimes tells the truth and sometimes tells a lie. And it's up to people to, you know, use their massive brain power to figure out which thing is a lie and which thing is the truth. Where in actual reality, as we know from our research, that the whole media thing is completely, BS to start from, you know. So, you know, anybody trying to, you know, decipher various things in, you know, and then all of a sudden you're handed this golden nugget of Obama, you know, walking out and walking, you know, giving his speech and walking away again. And even some of them had the flags, the way they were, you know, positioned, and there were horns coming out of his head, which feeds into another complete, you know, rabbit hole of, you know, BS, really. But anyway,
yeah,
I got it.
So what was it? What did we see? You know, was it just a distraction, or was it some sort of satanic, you know, mind control ritual that they're doing?
I think you said it all there. I think it's all a distraction, and it's all to keep the people who are obsessed with the satanic end of it, to keep the you know, and the Christians over this end, and, you know, everybody
else.
Oh,
yeah, it's on the Christians.
It's divide and conquer. It's divide and conquer. It's like everything, you know? You know, that's just my. I'm sorry for interrupting, Kate.
No, that's
all right.
That's very interesting. It's very, very possible. I don't know the answers.
I think that's the place that is the healthiest. If we can just say we don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying this is, you know, if I had to guess, this is my guess. You know, do I think people died? Yeah, but I think it was an accident. I think that's. Something went wrong. I think Flight 93
Why
was
supposed... Why do you think people died now all of a sudden? That's completely different from what you were saying before.
No, he was saying it's accidental. That, like, they got caught up somehow because they had planned on not killing anyone.
Right.
And those people ended up in the memorial?
I'm talking about my two friends.
You think they died?
If you said you know the answer right now and I get $100 if I can guess it, I would have to guess they died. And maybe that's because...
That sounds like you're just trying to tell people to think about death and $100. That sounds like a hypnotic answer.
I'm just trying to tell you that if you asked me if I had to pick one, I would have to pick that. I was about to explain...
Why
part
would you
of
have
the,
to?
I don't have to do anything. It's because... I give you $100 if you can pick whether it's heads or tails.
I don't want to hear about
flip.
Money anymore, please.
All right, you win a prize if you can pick heads or tails. Oh, are you going to pick heads or tails when I flip the coin, or you don't have to pick anything? I'm just telling you, I'm picking one because it makes more sense.
That sounds like a perfect politician answer, but let me ask you this. What did Robbie Noonan do for a living? Were they a broker? Did they have anything to do with money? Did they have anything to do with government?
I believe he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, and I believe that lot of people in that company were involved with what happened on 9/11. So therefore...
Okay. Did you meet Howard Lutnick?
No, never.
Okay, do you know who that is?
I think that was one of the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald.
Okay. Yeah. So Michael Rothberg, what did he do, supposedly?
I thought you said Michael Rothberg. That's what Michael worked for Cantor Fitzgerald.
Okay. Then Robbie Noonan was, what was his supposed job? What's the story on that?
I don't know what his exact job was. We didn't talk business.
And he worked in the tower?
Yeah.
You didn't talk businesses. I don't know, man. It's just such an odd story. It's, like, so convenient. You could take that exact story, clone it, change a few names, and copy it, and you've got a bunch of victims. I don't really know the person. I kind of hung out with them every day, so they're definitely real.
Not
I didn't really
day.
Know them. I didn't really know what they do.
You know what? I barely know what my son does for work, and I don't know the name of the company that he works at, and my
That's
son
fair.
Lives at home with me. Okay.
That's fair, but then you can see why when you say, oh, yeah, I would go with they died, why that's a little odd.
Because I'll tell you why, because I see the reactions of their family, okay, and it's hard to keep that up for years. Is it possible?
So this is new, though. This is a little new, because now you're saying –
at the beginning.
This is a little new, though. You say you're keeping up with them and – that they're keeping up a kind of appearance of mourning for a long time. And so you know this Wells Noonan, if that's her real name, if that's even a real person, and that they're constantly showing what? They're mourning Robbie?
Yeah, she misses them every day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm convinced. You win.
I'm not trying to win anything. I'm telling you what I'm witnessing. Could she be lying to me? I highly doubt it.
Could you be making up these people and your interactions with them? Yes, you could.
And that's what you believe. That's fine.
I'm not saying I believe that.
If you had to pick one, would you pick it?
No, I'm not playing this game about prizes and money and picking. What I'm saying is, in order to be fair about this entire topic, we have to let people have that position. And what's more, it is a pretty
good...
We don't really know. The only way to know is to try to interact with people. And so your position of saying, well, I have all these connections to the story and it kind of endorses the official story, but I'm going to like be on this. I'm with you guys. I'm totally
what,
with you guys. Nothing
story?
Is real, but
Hang
you have
on
all these connections.
How
to the
am I endorsing
story.
The official story?
Well, you're endorsing two of the official victims, the official collapse form of one of the towers, and...
I don't believe this building's collapsed, but go
and,
ahead.
And, okay, the destruction method, and you have two firefighter supposed friends who were there telling you about the size of the pile. I don't know.
Standing on it.
That's a hefty thing. Where well, were you all these years with your witness system?
Dave, you gotta... That's
well,
actually,
I know
of
a
all
third
our witnesses.
Fireman. I know a third fireman more casually. He's the significant other of my girlfriend's best friend, and he is still got.
I think Reiser's echoing.
Stress disorder over it, but again. I've tried to talk to him about 9/11, and he doesn't buy any of it. So I don't know the guy well enough. Who knows what his story is?
Are you gonna interview them about it? And
I have. I've asked lots of people lots of questions, and
are you gonna help them understand this point of view?
I've tried, and it doesn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't push it upon people unless they ask questions.
Do you think I'm pushing it on you?
No, I'm here because I want to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
We have Reiser joining the show. He has some questions for Peter, and we're really putting Peter through the ringer. I mean, Peter. Where'd Dave. Peter come from?
From last week.
Oh, my God. He's still in my brain. We're putting David through the ringer.
Right.
Do you mind a few more questions, David?
No, please.
Okay, because, you know, we don't get witnesses very often, and we're trying to reconcile our past research with what you're saying. And some of what you're saying works, and then others are exactly opposite of what our research says. And we're just, you know, so we're just trying to reconcile that without, and we don't, you know, mean any offense to you personally at all. I hope you don't feel that
That's
way.
Right. No personal offense. It's only... demonstrating our own personal position. That's it.
Yeah. Hi, Reiser.
Yeah, hi, everybody. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Did you have a question for David?
Yeah, I'm just listening away there, and it's quite interesting. David, like, as I said, you say you saw what happened, and, you know, I can't dispute that. You say it happened. I have to take your word for it.
Sure. I mean, the towers are gone. Would you guys agree with that?
I haven't been in New York.
That sounds like a really typical scripted kind of challenge. Why would you say that?
Because you're saying you can't believe witness testimony or photographic testimony. I just wanted to make sure that we're in agreement that the towers.
No, that's not what you said. That because you're obviously appealing to the kind of audience that would be listening and thinking, oh, they don't believe the towers are even gone. You know, that's
not
so
there and gone. Yeah, of course. That's okay. Not even an argument
Why
for anybody.
Ask
is
that
it
question
at this
unless
point?
You're being sardonic, basically. It's insulting.
Well, you guys, you said many insulting things to me, and now I'm all right.
I don't really think I have.
All right.
I have never all tried right. to be you.
All right, go ahead. Whoever was going to ask me a question, shoot.
Bryzer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You said what you saw happen, and that's fair enough. I can't dispute that. You know, I have to take your word for it. You know, I have a cousin who lives in New York, and she used to work in Merrill Lynch in Wall Street. And she said that she knew people that died.
Uh-huh.
But again, she wasn't working there that day. But, you know, it's a very hard thing to kind of, you know, how do you deal with that? You know, if people did really lose a loved one, how do you deal with that?
I don't understand the question.
All I'm saying is that if I was to say to my cousin that it was all fake and it didn't happen, and then she would say, well, it did, I lost people, I lost friends there, you know? It's kind of hard to say, well, it was all fake, you know? But then again, did she really know anybody that happened? Did this happen? Because I do know that she wasn't there that day, and maybe the people that she knew, she didn't really know or knew of somebody or something.
Right. Well, this isn't one of those. I don't. It's somebody that knows somebody that's a friend of somebody's. That's out of my book. These are people that I know. And as a matter of fact, with the Noonan family, I don't even know if they know my views on 9/11. Although Wells probably does because I've been posting stuff on my personal wall. She doesn't know about my podcast. And the only other person connected to these two is another windsurfing buddy of mine who was best friends with Mike Rothberg, and he is still missing his wingman, his right-hand best buddy, to this day. And I've barely scratched the surface with him, and he is closed-minded and unwilling to hear anything, and we don't talk about it. So the answer to your question is, you know, people that claim or did lose people, we'll just say claim at this point, I don't discuss it with them because they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's too painful.
So to me, what I'm hearing you say, and you can say that's not what you're saying at all, this is what I'm hearing, is that if someone merely brings up, as David has done, the idea that, oh, I knew someone who died, or I think I know someone who may have died, all of a sudden that creates a wall, it creates an emotional barrier, so people cannot question David. And what we're arguing is that it's actually okay to say, no, it's okay to question that. It's okay to say, you know what, maybe he's lying, and he's taking advantage of the fact that even bringing up the subject creates this emotional barrier and this emotional wall that prevents us from basically allowing ourselves to ask harder questions about how psychological operations manipulate society.
I don't doubt that psychological operations are controlling society in massive ways beyond what probably any of us realize. You know, 9/11 was one of the biggest manipulations of human society in this round of civilization, on levels that, you know, I would guess that some of us aren't even aware of yet. You know, I believe that it was a, you know, blood sacrifice
ritual. What do you mean
ritual. By that? What? By what?
Whatever. Some of us are not even aware of what.
I do you think you're aware of everything that was the purpose of 9/11 on all levels?
On the opposite spectrum, actually.
Okay, so that's all I was saying. I'm saying that even the most intense 9/11 researcher, there's probably stuff that they haven't even thought of. That's all I'm saying. It goes beyond what any of, you know, what we've all discovered. There's more to the story than you've even admitted it, that you don't know. So that's all I'm saying.
See, all I can say is that I've been to New York and I've been up the World Trade Center when it was there. It was back in 1999. And the restaurant at the top was a lot of people there. And then the lobby down below, there was a lot of people there.
Right, but you don't know what's
in between, I don't know, because when you get the elevator up to the top, it's straight up. You go straight up, you don't stop. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, on that morning, was there no people in the restaurant or downstairs, you know, in the lobby?
Well, we know Larry wasn't there.
Larry wasn't there, I know that, but...
So 2 weeks before, when I was in the towers going through the security check, they had it's almost like an airport where you would get your tickets, where there's a whole row of people checking IDs and giving you badges.
Yeah, that was even back when I was there in 1999. Yeah.
So there was escalators, pretty quick moving escalators that if you worked in the building and you had your ID badge, you can just fly right through and get on the escalators. And I do recall that there was a steady flow of people going into those escalators. So there was a lot of people in the building. You know, was it 100,000? I think those buildings hold 100,000 people. I don't think it was that many people, but it sure to me looked like the building was fairly occupied.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. That wasn't my experience at all. I lived in New Jersey.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, and my husband's relatives lived in Queens, so we would take the path under the Twin Towers quite often to go to Queens and eat dinner there and stuff. And I would go all different times, and it was never busy. So I'm like, okay, the ground, I never see people here. Where are all the people that are supposed to be flying in to go to the Twin Towers?
I thought to myself,
it was busy. People were using it, but they were going all the way through. They weren't getting off at that spot.
I wasn't going on the subway. I was there in the lobby, and I was there in the morning around 9 o'clock. So there was a lot of people showing up for whatever they do there. Is it possible
there's
only 10 floors of people? Maybe, you know, who knows?
Well, again, my experience, though, because I says to myself, well, they're all probably up all on the surface then. If they're not getting off here, they must be on the surface.
Right.
So I had a chance to go on the surface a couple times. And again, it's not busy. There's a few people. I was like, wait a minute. If it's not busy on the surface, you said you saw it busy. Maybe you did, but I'm before 1993. Wasn't busy for me then, and it wasn't busy below. So I thought, well, where the hell's this big giant city in the sky?
I'm with you. And when I say busy, you know, I saw a lot of people going on the escalator. That could have just filled two or three floors for all I know. You know, it wasn't, you know, the mass traffic that you would think was showing up to fill those buildings every morning. So,
right.
You know, my point was, the buildings weren't empty at least 2 weeks before. Maybe on the morning of, they were empty. I'm kind of leaning that way more and more the more I learn.
Can I just interject here? I'm sitting here listening to this whole thing. And one thing we have to think about as well is that, you know, 1993 so-called bombing, right? I honestly think that was just like the foreshadowing to this, you know, the September 11th attacks. And, from what I can glean from, you know, my own research and looking at, September Clues Clues Forum and, various other places, that there is this idea that, the 1993 bombing was like to clear out, you know, that area.
To get people to move out of the building, to get, you know,
yeah.
to say,
but,
yeah,
but,
I, I'm with you. And also, yeah. to program the mind of the people that terrorism could happen there. You know, on the morning of 9/11, they had a report early in the morning where Jack Kelly, and the report went like this, said Jack Kelly, our foreign war correspondent, just back from Israel, they threw out in there for some reason, reported that there was a truck with a bomb in the basement of the towers. This was just after the first plane hit. And Jack Kelly's the same guy that magically interviewed Osama bin Laden 3 months earlier. So, you know, that's all mind programming for what's to come.
You know, another thing, when I was there, it was mainly tourists that were there because it's a tourist place, you know. They all want to go up to the top and look out. I've been up the Empire State Building, the same thing.
Yeah, so you could easily have three.
It happened at 8:45 in the morning. I don't think it was open then.
Yeah, and you'd probably have...
There wouldn't have been tourists there, you know.
Yeah. So,
well, they wouldn't even...
I went up there, it was kind of mid-afternoon, and it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was packed with people, but it was busy enough, you know. But mainly tourists. I didn't see see business people walking around.
They would be the people that wouldn't even get in there on the morning, you know, like if there was a drill going on, they wouldn't be there. You know, so
we have a lot of evidence to show that at Lower Manhattan was completely blocked off.
Yeah, it's just
a lot of evidence. Like no one was going down there.
Actually, before it happened.
Yeah.
That's
early in the morning hours, all blocked off. No one could get in.
So what about the people that live down there?
Well, who actually lives down there? That's another question that I
don't think anyone lives down there. It's all business. It's Wall Street.
There's apartments.
I mean, there are people living there, but it's a question of whether these people would actually be out and about. And
then
maybe there was like. They didn't understand there was road blockage, but they were given some other reason. Oh, we're doing construction right here. You got to move down to this one, and then
easily done. No one would even notice. Happens every
right?
day.
Right, but wouldn't the subways?
A lady with a red stop sign. You
makes
could wait for
it
3 hours.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd never question it.
But wouldn't even the people in the subways? They were all cordoned off as well. You know, it was all part of this so-called drill. That's the part that keeps the real people away from the city. Or away from the, you know, the...
That'll agree with.
Yeah.
It's like the London bombings, the same thing happened there. It's all a big drill.
Yeah.
You know, David, sometimes we like to talk about photographic evidence we have, but the photographic evidence we lack is also extremely important.
Sure.
And we are lacking the mass exodus of people from those towers. Everyone in those apartments should have been snapping pictures of those people leaving Lower Manhattan. Every one of them. There should have been thousands of pictures
lack
on there.
Of the victims. We also lack pictures of the victims, evidence that they were killed.
Yeah. And, Hoy, didn't we at the time, as just, you know, passive viewers of the news channels, we were treated to, you know, scenes of people walking across a bridge. I don't know whether it was the Brooklyn Bridge or some bridge.
I think it was the Brooklyn Bridge.
And people are just...
Or the Triborough.
Like all these people in suits walking home, covered in dust. You know, like, you know, it's another
dust,
example of
way.
A set
I did,
piece.
The dust was thick and far spread across the west side.
Yeah, that would be like, you know, whatever was left of... Because that's the thing. You know, we have to separate the televisual feast that everyone was given on that day and repeated throughout the night and the next day and how many weeks we were, it was September 11th, you know, that was the weird thing. Yeah, that was the weird thing as well. right? Over here in Ireland, right? And, like, you know, I'd say Ireland, but also, you know, England, you know, that's where it was coming from. But you had your Sky so-called satellite in, you know, air quotes, satellite TV. And, you know, they had Sky News. And they had a thing at the time, I don't know if they still have it because I don't watch TV anymore, but you could press a button and it would bring you into like a little menu, like a computer, and you could actually watch Fox News. Now, at the time, it was Fox News that was pushing, you know, the 9/11 thing big time, right? Over here in Ireland, I'm just saying that, right? And it was like a few weeks later where Fox was actually put on the platform of the Sky News, right? Even though they're all, you know, allegedly owned by the same, you know, what's his name? I can't think of his name at the minute offhand, right? But the Australian guy, right? But it was like an indoctrination for people in Europe. All of a sudden, they got Fox News on their platform. So, in obviously, you know, all this was going on, 9/11, and everyone would be switching straight away to Fox News, you know, and various other American channels. I'm just not singling out Fox News, but, like, they're pretty much the big player at the time, you know. And, you know, that's just what, you know, I remember from that time.
So, Clark, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you explain the hollowing out of Building 6?
I wouldn't even try to explain it, because I'll tell you what happened, right, as far as I can see, right? And it's just my opinion, right? While all that TV movie stuff was going on, right, there was a literal, you know, they had to have a land clear, right? So it doesn't matter whether you're talking about, you know, Building 7 or Building 6. There was, like, what, 12 buildings in that whole complex. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody.
I thought there was 7, but maybe there's
no, five. There's more than 7.
There were 9.
9, there you go. Sorry, Hoy. Yeah, there was 9 buildings. That whole place, but and that will also give anybody that's going on about people that were dying of cancer, and then, of course, you're going to have to see, you know, is that coming from the mainstream as well? If it is, it's BS. But let's just say, right, there's a land clear anyway, right? That whole place was demolished, right? It you know, notwithstanding anything else, everything on that particular area was literally knocked down. And, like, to physically do that, forget about all this other nonsense about directed energy beams. It was physically just taken down, right? And then you've got to clean up people. And, you know, who are they? You know, groups from the army, you know, whoever, you know, but... Do you know what I mean? So that was all taken care of, you know, cleared away, you know. And we're all then left, you know, with this, you know, magical story about terrorists, you know. So, you know, that's all I wanted to say there, you know.
I remember, too, because, you know, obviously big news here because there's a big Irish population in New York. And they had there's a TV kind of talk show program here called The Late Late Show, which is normally on a Saturday night. But on the next day, they had a special.
Yeah.
And they had this guy on who said he had a sister who was in one of the planes who died, and he happened to be also walking out of the World Trade Center at the same time.
There you go. There's the Irish version of,
yeah,
you know, building up the Vic.
I remember looking at him, and this guy had no real emotion. He wasn't crying. You think if he lost his sister, like, he'd be pretty distressed, you know? And I had something very strange here. But again, I wasn't awake to what I know now. Back then, I kind of more or less went with the story. but I did kind of realize that maybe that the government let it happen so they could get their war in Iraq and whatever, you know. But I didn't really investigate it. But that just stuck out at me, you know. This guy was just, the next day, just sitting there on a talk show going, oh yeah, my sister was on a plane, and oh, it's very sad, and blah, 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 you know.
Do you think that's because they're incapable of showing emotion, horrible actors, or that it's modeling of human society on how to deal with tragedy?
Both.
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 I would say
yeah.
both.
Yeah.
Because right. The people over here in Ireland with the whole 9/11 thing is no different from the people over in America, right? These people...
Here, right?
They didn't, you know, they didn't experience loss, right? We were literally looking at whatever actors on you know, feckin', you know, Irish, you know, primetime television.
We had a day off work here because of it.
Yeah.
In solidarity with the people of New York. We had a day off work, I remember that.
Yeah, because
that's
it was
how crazy it is.
Yeah, and everyone tuned in to Fox
yeah.
News. It was the latest channel.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have a question. A little shifting gears a little bit. Yeah, somebody made the comment earlier that the whole, you know, when I was talking about the Obama speech, and we talked about the horns and everything, how that's just to keep people busy and off the target. I'm a believer in that this isn't a war for money, it's a war for energy. It's a psychic energy. They want our focus, you know. You guys buy into that at all?
Or you also, if you work for them.
Say that again? I didn't understand your question.
It wasn't a question.
No, I'm asking you guys, do you guys buy into that at all? That, you know, that if you have enough people paying attention to something, it, you know, that whether you believe it or not, the people that are orchestrating this believe it. Do you?
All I'll say to you is that we were presented with this thing, okay? Right? Over in America, it was like if you drop a pebble into the water. It started off in New York, right? And we know by going back, they were trying to bring in Patriot Act way before then. It goes back to Oklahoma
sure.
bombing. It goes back to all these psyops, right? But the fact that we're all here talking about this now, right? I'll give you an example. Over here in Ireland, right? And Breiser was talking about it before he dropped off. Right.
Yeah, right.
You were talking about, you know, the Late Late Show, which is just yet another example of media control. You know, like,
they're the
Irish arm of this whole, you know, nonsense.
Late Late Show is like the David Letterman
yeah,
show.
Right. In fact, the American Late Late Show was modeled on the Irish one, and that's really another day's work, right? That's weird enough, right? But you even have to the point where, you know, about 15 miles away from where I'm sitting now, there's a little village, there's a feckin' forest, it's called Dunedy Forest, and in that forest, they actually put two concrete slabs which represent the Twin Towers in memoriam of a guy who allegedly died because he was a firefighter in America, right?
Oh,
and I'm
cow.
Yes, seriously, right? And I'm looking at this, I, you know, saying this is BS, right?
Oh my God.
Now, no, you didn't know it, but I think I said it before. I don't know. I might have said it before. But, like, it's no secret. I think I sent a picture to Ab at one stage, and I think he put it up on Fakeologist, right?
But, oh, I remember. Yeah.
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 It's, like, just two slabs of concrete and a very badly laid little, like, you know, few slabs, you know, paving slabs. And this was a 9/11 memoriam thing for some guy who was, like, we're talking about third or second generation, and they use a last name, and it's Talon, right? And I'm sure, right, that, you know, he probably pops up in the Vixen report somewhere along the line, right? And I'm just thinking, as an Irish guy, and I'm saying, this is how far this tentacle of, you know, the lies goes, you know, to a small little forest beside a small little village in Ireland. And they're saying that some guy who, you know, allegedly, you know, like three generations before, you know, ends up in working for the fire department in America. You know, and there's absolutely no evidence or proof, you know?
You know what? I bet that was done through some sort of citywide grant. You know that?
Well, it also gets really small. They send people into little forums, and just to...
Yeah, but hi, the point I'm trying to make is, these feckers are, it's like, you can imagine something like a forum, and they're putting people into one little place in Ireland to sort of, stand up this lie of 9/11. Oh, we have a,
you
know.
But it's kind of mind-boggling that they would even bother to send an actor into a tiny little, you know, a Skype window, for example, and just have them just kind of sit there and just represent the mainstream view. And that's all they have to do. And that is enough for a lot of people.
That's what they seem to be doing, but they're doing it, you know, they're doing it in physicality, if you know what I mean. Like, they're putting up, like, two slabs of concrete, you know what I mean? And then they have a memorial, and then, you know, that could be a group of people coming in there doing a memorial. And then everybody else that goes in to visit that forest, they come across this memorial, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, God, you know? You know, do you know what I mean, man? It's like planting seeds. It's one thing doing on the internet, but they're
planting
actually...
seeds and rubbing shoulders.
Yeah.
Schmoozing is one of their things.
Yeah, and physically doing it, you know, like physically leaving, a memorial.
And I think they're doing that only in Ireland because of the Irish population in Europe, but the Italians, and the Polish, and everything, they did the same there as well.
Yeah, but Brazier, they're doing it all around the world. We've
That's
seen
saying,
these things.
Yes, all over, yeah.
You know?
So just to play into the emotions and get the emotional response, keep people down and thinking, oh my God, look what happened.
Yeah, they don't even need a picture of themselves and the victim. No. Which reminds me, actually, David, do you have any pictures of yourself with Robbie or Michael, maybe?
I'm sure there's a picture of me windsurfing with Robbie.
Yeah, probably. But do you have that? Do you think you can send that to us?
It wouldn't be digital. I'd have to dig it up, and what would be the point? You would just say that it's Photoshopped, it's not him, it's not me, and it doesn't matter. So,
why would you say that if we were good at analyzing?
I mean, how could you analyze? If I gave you a real picture, how could I prove that that's Robbie Noonan? It's not worth me looking up.
Because a lot of the pictures that people put up as evidence are actually really crappy, and they have problems.
It would probably be a pretty crappy picture.
But that's just a cop-out. Why don't you just try it?
Because I'd have to dig through pictures, and it would take me a long time, and I'm not even sure if there's one that shows our faces at the same time. It might be the back of his head on a windsurfer.
That would prove somewhat, a little bit.
It wouldn't prove anything unless he was holding his license in front of his face with me standing next to him with a newspaper and a date on it.
No, I don't think so. I think it'd be more believable if it was you and Robbie in a believable scenario and it was a realistic picture that actually showed you two both in the same room realistically with good lighting, not shitty, stupid crap lighting like they have in the
How about
bad...
I get you a picture of Mike Rothberg with a buddy of mine? Would that do
with
anything?
A buddy of yours?
Right,
so
well,
you're going to pretend
right
to
here.
Know this other guy too? No. No, it's got to be you.
How do you even know
very
what I
clear, mean? Very high quality, not compressed, not crappy.
Well, it's
not
digital. I don't
not,
have
not cryptography.
Not gonna happen.
Well, if it's any help, I've seen.
I didn't
picture.
Have a digital camera back then, and I don't take a bunch of selfies with me and Robbie.
Not even
I've
one picture.
I've seen him. Boy, I've seen what David looks like.
Yeah, but David with Robbie, David with Michael.
David with Jeff C. Mask. I seen that today, man.
You like that?
That was funny.
That was funny? Come on. Does that make me a shill?
No. What would make you a shill is if you were really good at infiltrating a forum or infiltrating a, I don't know, podcast and just were here to give your view.
And who asked who to be on this show? Me?
I seen that podcast.
Did I ask to be on this?
Yeah.
No, I was asked to come on here, and I was asked to be someone who could ask questions. That's why I'm here.
Listen, I have no problem with that, but I didn't ask to be on this podcast. I was asked.
You're invited. But what does that have to do with why you won't present a good, high-quality...
Because I
picture.
Don't have one. I can tell you I don't have one.
Okay.
It was pre-digital cameras, and that's it. I don't
well,
have it. I
you,
take a million pictures
you,
of myself.
You said before that you might be able to dig through. Wouldn't
I might
you
be able to
find think?
One of us windsurfing together. You know what that'll look like? It'll look like, all right, who is that on the board? I can't even tell. And the way I would know it was him is probably by his sail. All right? It depends. I don't, and it would be one that I didn't take too. So I would really have to look for it.
Did you leave a memorial tribute?
No, I did not. I did not go to his memorial.
Did you leave a tribute on their digital memorials?
No.
Huh. Well, is there a reason you wouldn't do that?
It was just not something I do.
Oh,
I didn't even know that you can do a digital memorial. When it happened, you know, I wasn't that big on the internet back then.
Well, you can do it now. They're still accepting them, I think.
I could. What's the point?
Well, I was just wondering.
What's the
if
point?
You, had...
you know what? If I did that, you could say, well, that's exactly what somebody faking a persona would do. You would wait 15 years and then do that. That proves my point. I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on.
No, I was just wondering. I was just wondering how you would answer the question, that's all.
That's how I answered the question.
Okay, that's fair. Do you know Robert Walter Noonan's age when he died?
Wow, I'd have to do
Without
that.
Without looking it up?
Afterwards. No, I mean, I'm not looking it up, but I mean, I'm 51 now, so do the math backwards. And he was younger than me.
Okay, so... Did you know who Rothberg worked for?
Mike Rothberg?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, not 100% positive, that he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald.
What about Robert Noonan?
I said I don't know.
Oh. Would you be surprised to find out that they worked for the same company?
I would not be surprised at all. Oh. And that would lay more suspicion.
I wasn't very surprised either.
Do they? You looked it up. They both work for Cantor Fitzgerald?
Supposedly.
Well, I mean, that's what it says in the records, right?
That's the story.
Is that what you're saying? So that right there leans me a little closer to your side of what happened. I don't know. I'm saying anything is possible. I believe that the whole Cantor Fitzgerald story was so concocted. And I just can't, it's hard to fathom how people can be involved in such a thing when so many relationships, family relationships, friend relationships are involved. But I've also learned that, you know, anyone can be corrupted. You know, maybe he was doing insider trading and
Maybe he took too many psychology courses. I don't know. Maybe
that's kind of rude. I'm saying people can be easily corrupted by, you know, getting them to do something illegal, getting it worse. Maybe he was doing insider trading. He was going to go to jail for the rest of his life, and they cut him a deal to play a part, and now he's living in Thailand. You know, I don't know.
Anything well, that's wrong. What I'm wondering. What if these people are supposedly real, saying that we do buy your story? Who's to say that they couldn't have just become corrupted and, as you say,
I'm saying that's a very good possibility. It's a very good possibility.
Okay, so since we know that that is probably even a possibility, what is the likelihood that that, combined with the notion that people can be that corrupt, that they would just lie like that, combined with the fact that we just don't have another good picture of either of these characters that you claim to have known.
What do you mean, another good picture?
Another good picture. Why is it that they keep posting the same picture of Robert Walter Noonan, or it's cropped, or it's a little blurrier in one or the other? Do you have another picture maybe that you have of them that isn't with you in it? I don't know.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find one.
Great.
What is...
Yeah, that ends up being quite a problem, trying to get more than one crappy picture, you'd think.
I got you. That, and if I can't, that would be interesting. What picture is it that you guys are seeing?
No, I'm not going to tell you that. I think you can find something else.
All right.
I don't think you would have this picture, because if you did, that would be a little strange.
All right, we can wrap this episode up with finding Noonan.
No, there's so many more questions.
Feel free to ask some more. I have a question, but I want to ask it after the show's over.
We can still hang out. We can do an after show, but Del needs to wrap up the audio and get his beauty sleep.
Okay.
We can always do beauty sleep. We can always do a part two, and I can sleep for 100 years, and I don't think beauty will come into it. I've got a face for radio, you know. So
maybe those PSYOP guys can manufacture a whole bunch of pictures of Robbie Noonan and Michael Rothberg really quick between now and the next show. quick! The shitty team that got on creating 3,000 fake people, just only work on those two right now.
Oh, feck. I could go out to Dundee now and take a photograph of the bloody Twin Towers, you know? But, you know?
Wow. It's, all right. Well, how was just, that,
Alex? I have a very crappy picture of Robbie wearing a hat with an S on it. Is that the one you have?
I'm not sure. Can you drop it into Skype?
I will, but I don't know if I don't see why not. Let me see if I can find another one first. Are we done recording?
No. We're all on pins and needles.
what, for the picture? You want to do this on the air?
No, I just, you know, it started on the air.
Just before I fall asleep.
Just humor me. Just humor me. It's probably nothing. It's probably not even a clue.
What's the question?
Can you send the pics, please? It's not really a question. It's just
I'm trying to find one that's clear.
And oh, I see. So you have a bunch of them? You can just send all of them, really. That'd be fine. The more the merrier. I'm surprised they didn't contact you to get pictures.
There's only one crappy picture, and it's a horrible picture. So
well, that's cool. Let's see it anyway.
Okay, hold on. Let me send it through.
Where did you get it?
From his sister's Facebook page.
I see. So it's probably named something crazy like Facebook-ish. Oh yeah, all the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a horrible picture. And if I didn't know him, I would say this is the most Photoshopped horrible picture ever, and it proves only that something's wrong. So that's why I was hesitant in even sending it.
That's fine. I should probably just browse that Facebook page of hers. This Wells character named after.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't harass her.
H.G. Wells?
I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't harass her.
If you get a chance to meet her parents, you should ask. I mean, it doesn't have. You could do it in a polite way, like, so, your parents named you after, what, a propagandist?
No, we would never harass her or say anything.
No,
to her.
What's the harassing? What's the harassment thing about? Because there's a lot of that going on, but, like, nobody, I don't know anybody on either Clues Forum or Fakeologist that harasses people.
Listen, I don't know any of you guys. Delcroix, I've heard you more than anybody else. And you know, I don't know what you guys are do. So that's all I was saying. I'm asking you not to harass her.
All right. His head isn't his head too big for his shoulders?
It sure looks that way.
We just don't.
It's a horrible picture. I don't get it.
Yeah. Do not harass any Photoshop people, okay? We won't do that, right?
Is that in an aquarium or something?
It's something weird, huh? Have you guys seen Betsy McGee's analysis of the U.S. money that was changed before 9/11?
We already.
Oh, it's a cell phone picture of a photograph of under glass.
Is that what it is?
Looks like a reflection of someone taking a picture with their iPhone in a protective case.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was asking about the Betsy McGee and the money thing, and just curious on your guys' opinion on that.
She's already, she would call us kooks, you know?
Who would call you kooks?
Betsy McGee.
Well, I'm not asking about that. I'm asking about her analysis, her analysis of the money and how each bill looks like another stage of what we were shown on 9/11.
That's interesting. Well, that is a whole new subject, which we are not going to get into.
I've seen that without the aid of Betsy McGee, and now apparently at this stage they're trying to sell us the Hoover Dam. You know, I've seen this for the past year or so.
Yeah, we're getting into it. Okay.
Yeah, you fold up a dollar bill or fold up the latest dollar bill, and it looks like, the Hoover Dam. You know, we're getting that, you know, so.
I get it. It's
the next bit of programming, you know, really.
I try not to, you know, trying to predict the future is a really bad idea, I think, in what we do, because there's just no freaking way. So you predict the future, what, you're either going to be naive or you're going to be, you know, the other way, you're going to be alarmist. So it doesn't come to any.
We've been looking at people predicting the future since, personally, in my case, since Y2K. So give us a break.
All right. I think we're just going to say our last words, and if hopefully Hoy can make it back to say his last words, and then we're going to end K-Ham Radio episode. I turned the page.
37.
Yeah. So I'll start with Del. We'll let our guest have the last word, because that's, you know, maybe give you that upper hand there a little bit since we've been picking on you all night. All right, Del, what's your last word?
No, I'm just going to say thanks, everybody, for listening to K-Ham episode 37. And, you know, I've been basically sitting here listening to it all. I know I interrupted a couple of times. I'm sorry. But I have your permission to do that, even though it's your show, okay?
Yes, sir,
and
you do.
The thing is, right, Dave? You were a good man. You feckin', you stood your ground anyway. Nobody can say anything like that, you know, against you. And I'll also just, you know, I don't want to mention, you know, anything, you know, too weird. But you were on, what do you call it, show earlier on today.
John LeBond show?
Yeah, that was lunchtime over here. Right?
It was interesting, man. Time. That whole flat earth concept is crazy.
Yeah, you basically put him into a coma, you know?
He passed out. He was drinking gin for 6 hours. That was funny. The best part was when the show was over and everybody stayed tuned to hear him snore.
It was like about an hour later, and it's everyone is still there, you know?
It was funny.
That was weird, right?
I just want to be clear on the flat earth thing. And the flat earth thing is I am looking for evidence that the earth is a ball, like we're taught, and it's very difficult to find. Yeah. So if anybody could help, that would be great.
Well, man, you know, that's all I'll say here, you know. It's Kay's show, but, you know, it's an interesting, you know, thing that happened there, you know.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, Bryzer, did you have some last words?
Well, I'll just thanks for inviting me in. Interesting conversation. And, you know, so Dave, you said you saw what you saw. I can't dispute that. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. As I said, we don't know what's really going on, you know. We just have to look through the nonsense and try and figure it all out and go with what we think is right.
Sure.
And, you know, well, what more can I say, really? It was good to hear. Good to hear different points of view. So thanks again for inviting me on.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you, Del, for speaking up. And, David, your last words?
9/11 is a mystery. There's a lot more to it than anyone's realizing. I'm just hoping people wake up before everything falls apart.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you braving the New York roads to get home to get on to KHAM radio.
All right. Sorry I was late. You're the only person I've done that to, so that must make me a 9/11 shell.
Episode 37. No. No. Time will tell, David, that you know as they say. No.
I don't know. it's all good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And what are we going to play out with, Del? Some Simon Shack? We're going to have a Shack attack here on KHAM Radio.
We're going to have another Shack attack. All right, Kay.
All right. So I guess we got to work that out. You say I'll start it in 5 seconds, and then I can talk it out, or how we work that.
We'll all just shut up and we listen to Simon. How about that?
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
And then I end up playing bloody Pink Floyd.
Huh? What's wrong with that, too?
We'll Pink go back Floyd to is Simon. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is that a going now?
Yeah, it's called like 5 past 5 in the morning.
All right.
There you go. Now, for all the people out there, listen to Simon's latest album because it is really cool. I think it's cool.
And the name of the album is?
Is Relativity.
Relativity.
It is indeed. She's getting on my nerves.
things that she does. She's got to leave me.